Hello and welcome to Big Head Mode for another week. I'm your host, Ben O'Brien. This is 2RRR's weekly gaming show where we discuss video games in an insightful and informed way with no dead air. Well, a little bit of dead air. See what I did there? Joined in the studio, as per usual, it is Abadia C. McKinnon.
Don't have a middle name, and it certainly doesn't start with C.
You don't actually have a middle name
no,
at all.
No, I don't.
Wow, you're
gonna learn something about me every day.
One of those freaks.
Yeah.
And also in the studio, he came here all the way from Tamworth just to be on this show. It's Tom McClurkin, who apparently also went all the way to Tamworth to get away from the show. So
was it worth it?
You know, swings and roundabouts, Tom.
Yeah, well, here I am.
Oh, you sound unbeaten.
So chipper. Enthusiastic.
Yeah. Well, I've told you like three times now. It was Armadale, but
no one cares.
You were in Tamworth when I spoke to you today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
I was.
So that was accurate. That was accurate, Tom.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Let's not play the blame game, Tom.
Although that is an excellent video game. Made by BioWare, the blame game.
Yeah. Also known as... Ooh, I don't have a joke.
Go on.
There's no joke there.
You put yourself in a corner.
God, stop doing that.
We are talking about a bunch of different games tonight, okay? One is a brutal and bloody, devastating tournament of... there's guts, there's blood, there's betrayal, there's tears, there's laughter. I'm talking about Mario Party.
Yes.
Yeah, see what I did there? Bang. Because we're also talking about Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Now, there's a K in combat, but not Mario Party. So
that's very good.
Bear that in mind.
That's clever.
Don't get caught up on that one.
Yeah.
We are going to be talking about Mario Party 10 as well.
I'm caught up on that now.
Funnily enough.
What does that mean?
Does it amuse you? I mean, because think how old... When I think of Mario... when I think of Mortal Kombat, that's a series that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, since the beginning of time.
And they've just released Mortal Kombat 10.
Right.
That's a lot.
And I thought it was funny earlier today when Buddy and I were playing Mario Party that was also Mario Party 10. And that still feels like a much younger franchise to me. I feel like they've released
really
a lot more of them.
I think it is, but have you actually looked that up to...
Oh, no.
Well, I know it is because, one was N64 and one was, Sega Mega Drive. I mean, come on, Tom, I'm no bloody historian, but the fact's a fact, right? You know? Mega Drive came before the N64.
Hands down. I think I hate that voice. I think I hate it.
Yeah.
That's my history teacher gamer voice.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's play some bloody video games. But while we're at it, why don't we learn a few things?
Because I'm fun, but I'm going to teach you stuff.
They're both long, both big, big games sort of histories, I guess. There's a lot of stuff behind them.
Totally. Oh, I'm learning
so much. And it was interesting playing Mario Party 10 because there's a lot of stuff that I'm not sure how I feel about it, but it does feel pretty different
from previous
games.
They try to change as much as they can, I think, these days from iteration to iteration.
As long as the core premise of wanting to destroy your friends.
Yeah, but
by the end of it,
I don't. Barty and I played it for a couple of hours, and I don't think I hated him at any point.
We're still mates.
What? And that's really foreign to me for a Mario Party game.
I haven't played Mario Party with Barty, and I hate him.
Yeah.
But
you might be my
this
friend.
This game might make you like it. It's this weird thing, and the thing that took me the longest to reconcile is the fact that you all move together.
Yeah,
all the players are now on this sort of train or moving vehicle, and each player takes a turn at rolling a dice, and then the whole thing moves,
which is really weird to get your head around.
Yeah,
and to think of it as a Mario Party game, but it. I don't know. I'm not sure if it works. I'm also not sure if I dislike it.
It's odd because I feel like I've lost that whole sense. It feels less competitive to me.
Totally.
I feel like in Mario Party, you used to feel like that pang of anger every time someone moved every single space ahead of you. You know,
totally.
Whereas in this, you don't have that sense of competition, but.
But there is still a sense of competition. I'm just not sure how.
And you feel like you're paying attention more, I think, during every turn because you're moving with them. So you're more invested in where is this person taking
you? Yeah.
What are you going to do to me, buddy?
And because you're all in the same train, as it were, in this case, there's a lot more happening. There's never any moments where you have to wait for the other person to, really make a move and what are they going to do and what's going to happen next and is there going to be a minigame? Because there's always stuff going on.
Mm.
The minigames are more frequent. I don't know, it's... weird. I don't know how I feel about it. I had a really good time, though. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that's all that bloody matters.
Yeah, I did. Although, there's three main game modes. There is sort of, they call it traditional Mario Party, but as we just described, it's different. But it is the sort of the vanilla mode. You know, four players, competing against each other, only one winner.
Yep.
Still has all those annoying little things where it doesn't matter how well you do, there's going to be a random potluck thing at the end.
Well,
where,
I still won both times.
Oh, you got the star for the most times you went, oh.
How many times did I win? How many times did we play?
Yeah, get this though, right? So the first game we played, Badia wins, right? Like, one round before he wins, we do it, he lands on a Bowser space and loses all of his coins.
Right.
Like, all but maybe 10 of his coins.
Right.
Which are the only currency this time around. You don't buy stars, you get these things they call mini stars. So he loses almost all of them. I get almost all of them. Mm. And so I have the most. I've got like 70, almost 30 more than the person coming second.
Mm.
And then we get to the final thing. And of course, Badia wins. Oh, the star for who traveled the most spaces.
Seems to me like he dislikes me. So it's worked out really
but
well.
But it was that classic. It's that classic. That's the one thing I don't get, because I'm not sure. It only awards you 2 bonus stars, and in the previous Mario parties, you would get like
14, 15.
You'd get a bunch
like
of them, and there was always a minigame star. There was always a, you know, a most coin star. It was sort of like there were these
dependable.
Yeah, there was ones you always knew to rely on. So you could always go, well, I don't have the most stars now, but I'll get this one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't quite figured out exactly what they all are for that yet, because there's only 2. And every time we've done it, they've been random, like landed on the most boo spaces.
A lot of random stuff happened in the game. Like, I guess that's classic Mario Party, but I'll tell you what I do know, Ben.
What?
It's a good time.
Now, the second game mode is just the one that we just played, and that was a lot more fun. It's called Bowser Party. And it's basically like 4 vs 1. It's 5 player. 4 people are all in the train trying to get as far away from Bowser as possible. And, you know, the person on the gamepad controls Bowser.
Yeah.
And they're just chasing them and catching them. Every time you hit them, you do a mini game where Bowser is fighting them. And instead of having coins and stars, everyone has a certain amount of hearts. And every time you loot, you take damage in a mini game or something, you lose a heart.
And you can be, like, knocked out.
And so the idea was just to get to the end of the board game and survive, basically. And it was really fun.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thought it was great. Would play again. Probably will.
It'd be great to play with just a full
with 5
team
people.
Yeah. Unreal. I mean, because we played it with Bowser on very hard, and you know, he beat us at the very end.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. Like, Bowser cheats, which I love.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's what he's supposed to do.
Like, at one point, he has to roll a above a 3 to get to us, and he rolls a 2, and we're like, thank God. And then, like, baby Bowser's like, that was a really crappy throw, Dad.
Do
another one. And we're like, no!
Bullshit.
No! The stakes felt high. It was good.
Mm. It was all right.
You know, and we were trying to kill each other, you know, which is what my experience of Mario Party is. Now, the third mode, Amiibo Party, I don't get it. It's just a weird, boring add-on mode that's a gimmick to make you want to buy Amiibo figures.
So it's exactly like the Amiibo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just a rectangular game board. There's no variation. You just go in a circle.
The rectangular game board where you go in a circle.
You know, I mean, it's a cycle. It's a circle of life in that you're going in one direction and meeting again and just doing that endlessly until you buy all the stars.
Yeah. Yep. It's a good time. No.
It's not.
That one's not a good
time. It wasn't. We got bored and stopped.
We gave up. And came here, incidentally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we did. Anyway, so look.
That's a good little chat.
It was a good little chat. I did buy a lot of Amiibos for that game.
Yeah, because you're a loser and a sucker.
No, look, I like Amiibos. I like the idea of
a sucker.
Well, yeah, I'm a bit of a sucker. But then I'm the sucker with all the Amiibos, dickheads.
Yeah.
Drink it in. Yeah. This is the liquid of success.
Oh, God.
I'm drinking from a goblet made of Amiibos.
Failure.
Made of melted down Amiibos. Yeah. Because that's like literally the only use for them.
Does it taste like tears?
It tastes like melted plasticky money.
So it tastes like a horrible mistake that is eventually going to probably give you cancer and kill you.
But that's because I bought all those cursed amiibos from the from Chinatown.
Classic.
At midnight.
Brilliant.
I'm not allowed to feed them after midnight, and I'm not allowed to get them wet, and they don't like bright lights. But other than that, they're great.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good pets. Get one for your kids.
They sing as well. Yeah. Little Gremlins reference for you. What about other games? What else have you got?
Most laboured metaphor.
Gremlins, great.
Yeah, look, if you haven't seen Gremlins, you should. Also, Mortal Kombat live action film from the 90s, also excellent. We might be playing a cheeky bit of music from that later on.
Please don't.
Oh, we might.
Okay.
Oh, we are. No, we are. We are.
Okay.
Have you guys been playing any other games lately?
I have.
Tom, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a little game called Fight the Dragon.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay.
This is a Melbourne indie.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys haven't heard of it. It's on Steam. It's like a cartoonish version of Diablo, except with user-generated maps.
Cool.
As well as a big dragon that starts right next to your home base.
It sounds like they ripped a lot off Bowser Party.
Wait, what's it called? What's the name of the game?
Fight the Dragon.
Oh, I thought it was Find the Dragon. I was going to say it's next to your base.
Where is it?
It's just there. It's a terrible game design.
Where's Dragon? Where is Dragon?
Oh, there he is. Yeah. And game over. Great. Okay.
You got eaten.
Would you recommend that game?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's if you're into Diablo, which it takes a lot of cues from,
right?
Definitely. With the user generated maps, there's a lot of replayability, and you know, you get to kill rats.
Great, like every good Diablo clone should.
Yes, yep. Exactly.
Okay, and so that is a Melbourne based developer who have made that game.
Yeah, their name is Three Sprockets.
Three Sprockets. Shout out.
Was too taken. Is that? Two Sprockets taken.
Oh. Bardia, I'm going to play some songs. Time some music to get away from Bardia's terrible jokes.
Guys, no.
This is the metal cover of Gull's Theme by Shinray. You win. We win. We win. That was a metal cover of Gull's Theme by Shinray. It's a great cover that
you
I found
really
on SoundCloud.
You really like that song, don't you?
Song goes with everything, Bardia. It is a song that goes with everything, including what is up next. A little thing
terrible
I like
segue
to call
terrible
news.
Might be copyrighted.
That is not copyrighted because there's no copyright on mouth noises, Bardia.
Well,
let me just Google that quickly.
I think singing
God, Tom, call my lawyers.
We don't have any money, guys. We don't have any money. We're screwed.
No, it's fine because if we just do that again, but sort of overlay it with a bunch of game sound effects, so it's like da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da
Tom,
just stop asking.
Tom, you bought Destiny, so you're the one who's losing in this arrangement where you don't. And you bought the digital version, so it's literally there's
can't
no
even take it back.
No,
I just have to burn my whole Xbox.
I'm just trying to make you like make the most of a purchase.
That's a
that
special.
You regretted.
That's a special kind of stupid. That's like. That's impressive.
But then again, I've also
terrible mistake.
I've also had a Halo Master Collection just sitting there waiting to get played extensively.
That? That's pretty good.
Not. I keep telling myself I'm going to wait.
I mean, that's
till
like
I can
16 gig. What is it? Or like 30?
16 gig. It's like 80 gigs almost when you include everything.
Yeah.
Like
what
that's
are you doing,
appalling.
Buddy? That's a lot of space on your hard drive.
And I can't delete it because I haven't played it yet. It's just a waste. It's like I'm going to have to wait 4 days to download it again if I want to play it.
Just don't play it. It's fine. You'll get fine. You'll be fine.
No, I just like I feel like I started the campaign on that, but I just feel like it's a waste not to play a co-op. It's such an excellent co-op game.
What if you don't have friends?
Ooh, I've got one who's got the bloody Master Chief Collection sitting over here, grinning at me like a dickhead.
His game of the year.
Yeah, it was your game of the year for every category, I think indie game of the year.
So is something happening in Destiny, or what's happening?
Yeah, so the deal with Destiny.
What are we doing here?
Thanks for that derailment. The big thing that's got a lot of people sort of concerned is that Bungie have come out and said that there is actually no raid in this new version,
that's
which I think
fine for us because we haven't finished the other two.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, I really enjoyed the other raid, the first one. We haven't even started
Crota's
End yet.
Yeah.
But I found that there was so much offered in the first one that I kind of liked knowing that I had this sort of back catalogue of end content that I could get to.
Yeah,
you know?
And it was the most interesting part of that game, I thought, those raids.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what a lot of people said. I mean, a lot of people's big criticisms was that like it took them too long to get to that. Like, there should have been more of that spread throughout the whole game.
Let's just show the story here is A grade.
Hey, just none of this underailing. This is ridiculous. This is news. We're supposed to derail. What are you?
No. That's in the next story when we talk about Derail Simulator.
Okay.
All right.
It's a good one.
Okay. So here's what is in this that we know so far. Okay. It is apparently it is meant to contain a new strike on the moon called the Shadow Thief, three story missions, three quests. Now, I don't quite know what the difference between a quest and a story mission, but there's six altogether.
Doesn't sound like a lot.
Five PvP maps, bunch of new ship schematics, weapons, armor, all that stuff. And here's the thing that I have find interesting. Two new social spaces. So two new alternates to the tower. Yeah, yeah. One is called Queen's Bay. One is called Halls of the Amentet. They're both in the reef. You know how when you go to the reef, there's just that giant empty space?
Yeah.
That is going to be filled with all this stuff that we can go to now.
Here's what they're doing. Here's what they're doing. They are making us buy this DLC, which doesn't actually have a lot of content. I mean, by the sounds of things, I don't know.
Yeah.
In order for us to be able to use those other hub worlds, hopefully for other DLCs later on. So it's like they're playing a long game here.
Well, I mean, that's one way of looking at it. I mean, I got the season pass, so I just I'll take whatever I can get because I need this thing to bloody make itself worthwhile.
Ben, I got the season pass.
No, what? That's either a good or a bad thing, buddy. It depends how much they deliver. There is another thing that is meant to be in this mode, in this this file, this DLC. It sounds interesting. It's a three-player co-op battle arena instead of the raid that's called the Prison of Elders.
Cool.
And that's all we really know. But, it, you know, to me, I'm guessing it's going to be like a horde mode or a firefight kind of thing, which could be really cool. Because, I mean, at its core, the thing that is consistently fun in Destiny is the shooting and the killing things. And so giving you a way...
Well, that's the only thing in Destiny. That's it.
Well...
that's Destiny.
Yeah, but, I mean, I feel like it's one of the reasons that you know, there's this hint of getting better gear.
Yeah.
And the core gameplay, I feel like it's so satisfying that a lot of people are still sucked into that because you have this gameplay that you enjoy doing and the hint of a reason to keep playing it. Mm. And I don't mind that. I mean, that to me, that's more appealing than PvP, and it sounds like it could be more efficient than, you know, just doing the same story missions over and over again.
Yep.
So yeah, I'd be interested. Depending on what the arenas are, if it's making use of all of those multiplayer levels too, that'd be really good because, you know, by the end of this DLC, there will be heaps of them, which is a lot of variety. So yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily, you know, because then you still have two raids. And they have said there's a third raid coming out, and they haven't said whether it's going to be free or not or whatever, but coming out, you know, later in this year as well.
Cool.
So, you know,
well, with you,
how do you feel about that?
Well, I have to buy them all separately, so I'm a little bit, I'm irritated, but I probably should have pulled a Ben and bought the season pass.
Not necessarily.
Can't
not necessarily.
All be as good as you, Ben.
I mean, I bought a bunch of season passes this year. That haven't all panned out. I bought the Evolve season pass and realized it does not give you much.
What is it? What
and some skins and some, you know, bit of this, bit of that. It wasn't worth it.
Did that game just go away?
Also, the Titanfall expansion at Season Pass I bought, and then, like, you know, we stopped playing that, and then what, a few months ago they offered the every single bit of DLC for free to Xbox Gold holders.
Yeah.
So that was a slap in the bloody wallet.
Wow, that's really bad.
That gets you where your money
just
is.
Just never buy Season Passes.
I'm starting to I think Telltale Games are the only games I'm ever going to get Season Passes for anymore.
Why?
Because they're the only ones I know I'm going to bloody make the most of. Let's move on to another game that's probably not going to be disappointing. Goat Simulator is coming to the Xbox One tomorrow.
Wow.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all over that. I am 100% over that
game.
I
can't wait to download that with my internet.
You're going to have internet on Tuesday, buddy, all right? Just bloody keep telling your little sad sob stories to people who care about it, right? All right?
Which isn't these guys. Nobody.
Tom really tried hard to make that, bring that back.
Okay, let me just. If you're listening right now and you care about bodies, I don't have internet story. Just speak up.
I know.
Thanks, sorry, man. Thank you. Sorry, buddy. Love your work. Thank you, really mysterious sorry. Tiny person in the background.
How does he keep getting in here? Okay.
That was just him leaving studio.
Good. He had a lot of force to slam that door for a tiny little fella.
He's a little guy. But he's got a big frame. He's good.
I'm jazzed for Goat Simulator.
I think, to be honest, it's one of those games that I could just totally watch, you know, a 20-minute supercut of all the funniest Goat Simulator stuff, and then I would never need to play it myself.
I'm a sucker for those kind of muck around and just be ridiculous games.
Mm.
I always have been.
Yeah.
And I know you haven't always quite been because you're a humorless, you're a humorless monster.
You're a husk. You're a husk of what you once were.
I think that's. But also, I love the fact that this is the beauty to me of these next gen consoles is we're seeing a lot more of these games that traditionally would stay on PC get ported over. Like, it's happening a lot more frequently now, I guess, because the hardware's better.
Mm. Or because nobody's developing games for these.
Or Microsoft, probably because they relaxed their policies on other indie games and stuff being put on their console.
I think all of it is because of the rise of, you know, Let's Plays and stuff online. I mean, Goat Simulator wouldn't even be close to what it is now if people weren't coming in thousands or millions or whatever to the Let's Play videos to watch people dicking around in it. Like, that's the only reason it's on the Xbox One. It's because of its popularity online in video form. So,
yeah,
that's all I have to say about that.
But I think that's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, yeah, sure, it's going to be massively successful. But, I mean, as I said, I've seen all the Goat Simulator that I need to see. I've been completely Goat Simulated.
Coming tomorrow with anything new?
That's a weird expression. I've been completely Goat Simulated.
Does it have anything new that it's coming with, or is it just the...
It's got all the latest versions because they modded and added a lot to that game. Wow. I believe in its latest version. Look, it's not here on my notes in front of me, but I believe in the latest version. It's definitely co-op, so it's multiplayer.
Hey. They released an MMO of that. What's happening to that? They did.
Yeah. Of what? Of Goat Simulator?
Yeah. I think it failed miserably. But it was.
I'm hearing a lot of "I think."
Yes.
And
yes.
Not a lot of evidence.
Well, you know, I'm not the one with a computer in front of me, Ben.
Ooh. Here we go. Goat Simulator is the latest in goat simulation technology, bringing you next-gen goat simulation. You no longer have to fantasize about being a goat. Your dreams have finally come true.
You know what I love about this show? Like, I was going to read that Wikipedia page, but now I can have it, all the information in Ben's sultry voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Baby. You want to get goat simulated?
No.
Tom's going to goat simulate the hell out of you.
We're getting very close to a topic I don't want to talk about. So let's just breeze right past the goat simulator.
Let's move on to a bit of sad news, actually. natural. Wow. Nice and natural, guys. 2K Australia is officially shutting down.
Oh, what?
Yeah. It was a real bummer.
Yeah, but it's not like their last game was successful at all. What's that about? Didn't Borderlands 2 do really well?
Oh, right, you're being facetious.
Yeah.
I was about to say, well, I'll have you know, young man. they did do really well. And it's interesting. I mean, the statement that came out...
pre-sequel, not 2, sorry.
But then, you know, they've also since re-released pre-sequel with the Borderlands Handsome Collection. Yeah. So it's selling very well. I think it's just like, from what they've said, ongoing development costs, running a separate studio out of Australia is just very expensive and I guess ultimately not worth it. They probably thought, you know what, we don't need to work on side projects. You know, we can just focus on the next big projects we've got coming up. They're probably thinking they're working on Borderlands 3. They want to put all their resources into that.
That's a shame.
I mean, it is a bummer.
So, I mean, is it being absorbed into main 2K?
It's just being shut down and they're all losing their jobs.
Okay.
Now, like,
and some might
this happens a lot in the games industry. Yeah, like a lot of these people do get rehired in different places and stuff, picked up in other studios. But the sad thing is that we're probably going to see a lot of these talented Australian game developers have to go overseas to get work, which is always what happens when these things close down.
I mean, when Team Bondi closed down, it was the exact same deal. After L.A. Noire, like, people just had nowhere to go. Because, I mean, we're not really full of game studios here, especially for AAA titles. So it's...
And 2K Australia kind of have... They've got a history with a bunch of other games. Like, they were... They originally, when they were known as... I think 2K Marin was what they were originally known as. They worked on Bioshock 2. Yeah. And they did a lot of early design work, I think, maybe even on Infinite.
Was that made here? Oh, was that made here?
Sorry. Barty is having a stroke. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
No.
The work that they did on it was. I think specifically they did the multiplayer.
Didn't,
and the DLC, one of the
Minerva's
DLCs.
Minerva's Den. I think they did Minerva's Den. Interesting. That was meant to be a really good DLC.
It was a good DLC.
Bioshock have multiplayer?
The second one did.
What?
The second one did, and the third one didn't. Because
Can you believe I haven't played the second one?
I can't believe that. It's not great.
It's not the best. It works in well with everything else, I think.
False.
Okay, look. Okay. It's all right.
Well, you have the official word right now.
Right.
Bioshock 2.
You heard it here first, kid.
Okay.
Okay, we've got another bit of news that I was going to get to, but you know what? We'll carry this over in the next break because I also want to talk a lot about Star Wars Battlefront, which at the time, if you're not listening to this live, you're listening to this pre-recorded to the podcast. You've already seen the trailer for this, so it's going to be an interesting conversation. But I want to talk about what we all want to see and expect from this game.
We're talking to the future after the break.
That's right. But first, this is the Night Fighter from the Street Fighter 2 soundtrack by Module. And you might find a little reference to another song I like to call Guile's Theme.
Idiot.
You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM.
Here we go.
Welcome back. This is a Big Head Mode 2RRR's gaming show, and we're about to launch into some chat of a little game I like to call Star Wars Battlefront. Now, this game is it's been announced. We know as far as we've been told, it's coming out late this year.
You don't have anything to say.
There was a leak. I'm not sure where you're going with it. There was a leaked date.
Wait and see where he goes with it.
Yeah, there was a leaked date. That's looking at sort of mid-November as a potential release. Those leaks always bore me, to be honest, because it's like, well, look, if it's coming out this year, we kind of know the ballpark of which it's going to come out with.
What are you doing?
Tommy's taking his shirt off. And I can only assume it's because you're getting ready to talk about Johnny Cage later with the Mortal Kombat segment.
That is not a flattering body. That is... Jesus.
Oh, look, it's fine for radio. So, Star Wars Battlefront. Now, have you guys played either of the Star Wars Battlefront?
I love the hell out of Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2. Played the crap out of them.
Something we can agree on. Yeah, they were great games.
Great game. Yeah. Really great good. Games. And I liked in the second one how there was like that hunt mode and you could play as the creatures. You could play as like the Jawas and stuff.
Yeah. I feel like the bar is going to be pretty high for this next one, hey? Like it's...
They're in a weird spot.
A lot of expectations.
Yeah.
And from DICE especially, I mean, who... I'm a fan of Battlefield, but let's be honest, like they've had a bit of a rough patch with the last couple of games in terms of how they've been received.
Mm. I mean, as long as they don't do anything radical and stick to what the first two games did really well.
Yeah.
They can't really go wrong. I mean, they can add some stuff, but as long as they're pretty focused on.
Well, that I think is part of the problem. Like, I would be totally happy as a fan, and I'm sure you would too, Badia, with an HD re-release of the game. Because it was fun, it was great, you know, I just want that. But because they're redoing it, revamping it, you know, they're going to make changes, and that fan base that's just there for the nostalgia is going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have a really strong, like, at its core... the concept is still so strong that you don't really have to tamper with that formula much. I mean, it's Battlefield with Star Wars. Mm. You know, you've got space combat. You've got a whole wealth of sort of combat types and vehicle types and environments to utilize.
I think that's like, I mean, if they come at it as saying, you know, we've got Battlefield, let's adopt it to Battlefront.
Well, see, I think that's a problem. That's
like,
a danger,
they've got
to come isn't
it? At it from Battlefront was great. What can we do? You know, here are some assets that we can possibly use, but...
Yeah, this new engine, let's use it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was you telling me, Ben, like, there was rumors going around that they were going to have, like, such big battles where you could, like, start on land or whatever and then go up and have your own space battle and, like,
I mean,
have a big...
I don't know if that's what is happening, but it's what a lot of people are wanting.
So, as speculation, if that does end up being the case... I think that's my price of admission right there.
I put this out on Twitter earlier to see what kind of things people want or hope or expect from it, and that's exactly what one person tweeted, Prometheus1110, said, ground to space and space to ground transitions, letting them happen on the fly, it'd be great, and he'd marry DICE instantly if they did that. And
I think it's possible, but...
It'd be a first, but I think that's something that a lot of people would... It's something like you couldn't imagine happening, I think, before... this current generation of consoles came out, you know, and...
Well, you could on PC, but...
Yeah, sure. But I mean, I don't think, you know, obviously they wouldn't want to do anything. They wouldn't build a game around something that they couldn't do on all their platforms. Because this is a game that, I mean, EA, they need a good system seller. You know, they need a strong title after the sort of muddy waters of Battlefield games. And I think there's a lot riding on this.
What was the last Star Wars game we all had? The Knights of the Republic.
Well, bear in mind, we haven't had any since EA... got the rights to stuff. This is going to be the first of...
They were going to do... Was it them who was going to do 1313? Was that EA?
No, that was...
Who was that?
I can't remember who was doing that, but like that was cancelled before EA purchased the rights.
Hopefully some assets from
so
that.
And they've been sitting on like whatever they've been working on for the last few years. Mm. And this is going to be the first of it. And, I'm, you know, And so there's going to be a lot, like a lot of Star Wars gamers out there are going to be like waiting to see what to come out of this company that already gets a bad rap, yeah, for being like the empire of the gaming world.
They clearly do something right because, boy, are they rich.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, they built that wealth somehow. Off the backs of, you know, slaughtered Jedis.
It could happen.
Or something. But no, like, I've got a lot of hopes. Another thing that someone else said is, let me find his name. Yeah, so Matthew Mouse, or Mr. Matty Mouse, as he's on Twitter, says he wants playable heroes again, which was a great thing. Totally. I loved playable heroes.
They'll bring that in for sure.
I mean, I feel like that's... it's EA. I think not only will they bring that in, they'll charge you extra for each bloody hero.
Brilliant.
Like, that's going to happen for sure.
Mm. No, very excited. It'll be good.
Yeah. So is there anything else in particular you want or expect? I mean, you could imagine with this next-gen technology. I mean, I personally, I've said it before and I'll say it again. As long as I can just fire a laser at an Ewok's house and just explode the house. Like, have the whole thing splinter into wood in that frostbite engine.
You're a sick... twisted some bitch. Like, that is a special level of messed up.
Cutest aliens of any time.
But also, like, destroying all the forest would be sweet. You know, having fully destructible environments.
That's
but then you want to be, if you're going to be in one of those chicken walkers and you're...
You mean the AT-ATs?
Yeah.
ATSTs?
No, AT-ATs are the big ones, mate. ATSTs. All right, you came in with your little smug correction.
Come on, nerds. Come on, nerds.
I'm cool.
Back in your corners.
Sorry, I'm cool.
Don't make me cage you again.
Christ. Like, as if you don't want to be able to, you know, be smashing stuff. And there's not a lot you can do with, you know, this amazing environment engine that DICE have when Hoth-based... combat. I mean, there's not a lot you could do unless you can make your own ice caves and hide from Wompers.
It's coming out at an interesting time, because that's when the movie also is due to be released, right?
Yeah, movie's Christmas time, so it's sort of like, you know, a month or two either side, depending on when they actually release it.
So it's around the time of the movie, right?
So, yeah, it's going to be time.
Yeah, okay, all right, yeah. So
it's interesting, but it's also dangerous, because it means they don't have to do a huge amount of marketing. It's Star Wars, they know that people are amped for this.
I wonder if they're going to bring in any, because I know that they're focusing in this game on the old trilogy. I wonder if they're going to bring in any of the film as, you know, DLC or story content or whatever.
I think from
sequels.
I can't remember. Like, I read it and I don't have it here, but I think from what I've read and what they've said, I think it might be set in between the two original trilogies.
Awesome. I'm on
board. I think it's set like after, you know, just before New Hope.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. I think that might be where it's set, because it's sort of the right. It's like the ride when the Empire is just sort of rising. You know what I mean?
Well, surely we'll be able to play like. Okay, well, that's a point. Hopefully, we'll be able to play like battles from the old trilogy as well, like in the old two games.
Possibly, I mean, in the realm of multiplayer, you don't have to worry about canon so much. But I imagine there's going to be a campaign or something.
Yeah, interesting. So there we go.
And yeah.
All right. Yeah, the last word on it.
All right, okay, moving on. Let's go to...
a lot of speculation in that one, a lot of speculation.
And the other news story that I wanted to get to just quickly, if you call this news, is that, you know the game, indie game Crawl? That's sort of like... It's sort of like Evolve. Yeah, that where you're the heroes fighting one player controls all of the monsters in the... There's a new enemy type coming to that game called Gabe Newell.
Brilliant.
I've heard about this.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So there is actually going to be he's going to be the most powerful character in the game, and he's going to be able to just destroy everyone. And he can transform move where he transforms into bearded Newell, like the Gabe Newell that he looks like now.
Has he approved? He's approved this, right? Like, surely he's given his permission to be
No.
I think they've told him about it.
Oh, this is what we're doing.
Which we
they've reached out to him. Like, they were in a process with talking with him about giving him an appearance, and then it looks like they're sweetening the deal by saying, not only will we let you, will you appear in the game, we'll make you the most powerful character in it.
Yeah, I'd say yes.
Yeah, as if you wouldn't. Yeah. Why wouldn't you say yes? Mm. Anyone, any indie gamers out there, if you ever wanted to make a game about us, just, you know,
we would not object.
Derail Simulator 4. All right. Let's go to a song. This is Some Assembly Required from the Portal 2 soundtrack, and we'll come back and talk about Guile's Mortal theme. Kombat X. Welcome back. We got distracted then because Bardia was getting angry about people who mispronounced the word almond. So
almond.
There we go.
Almond?
Almond.
What is it? Almond or almond?
It's almond. It's almond, Bardia. Okay, let's let the eternal war between almond and almond, let's put that to rest, okay?
No one's saying almond. Anyway, let's move on.
There's only one Deadly Combat I want to talk about, and that's Mortal Kombat.
Oh, you're the worst person.
This is a really great game, and no one's more surprised than me.
The conviction of these...
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, right. I'm back.
Don't talk to me about conviction, bloody butter lips over there.
Butter lips. I like the tone of your face.
We're losing our focus. I've always had a really, really soft spot for the Mortal Kombat series. I loved the original games. I mean, it was one of the first fighting games I think I played with my brother.
So you were a Mortal Kombat, not a Street Fighter?
I was definitely a Mortal Kombat person.
Tekken?
No. Well, see, this was long before Tekken.
Yeah, well, Tekken was long before...
Oh, yeah, so you did what
you
I did.
You got me there. You chucked a body. You bodied yourself.
Oh, butter lips.
But just like everything about that, you know, like that cool universe still appeals to me. And like, I love the original character, you know, your Sub-Zero and your Scorpions and your Reptiles. And I loved them back when they were just colorful ninjas. I mean,
What was it?
It was one of the first games, I think, they used that sort of photorealistic style and graphics.
It was stop motion. It was almost stop motion video.
Yeah, and so it was just men in, like, in colorful ninja outfits.
How far we
But then it was brutally violent and, like, ripping out the heart.
Want. It's always been, like, it's always been pushing the envelope in terms of its violence.
And, of course, the little face, Toasty, would appear down the corner. You've got high eyebrows. You don't recognize that?
I have no idea what that is.
Mortal Kombat fans would recognize it. It was a certain, if you did an attack... This face would appear down the bottom of the corner of the screen and would just yell Toasty.
Why?
And it wasn't years until I realized that was like the head developer of the game. Because, of course, this is when games were so... You just didn't have those lines of communication between the people who made the games and the people who bought the games. You just weren't... You just had no real, like... awareness of who the people actually were that made the game.
So now we know that Toasty is one of the head developers.
And then, well, you know, I follow him on Twitter now. It's a bizarre thing.
Oh, really?
Space. Yeah. Ed Boon's the guy's name. He's one of the
main... Oh, he's Toasty.
Yeah. That makes sense. Very Toasty.
You don't know what Toasty is, though.
No, I don't. And
I finally put those two things together.
But this game, like this game, Mortal Kombat 10,
it really acknowledges
all of that fan stuff. I mean, one of the first things I did in the game was after I played a few matches, unlocked some credits to, you know, to buy some stuff, I went to customize my player card. One of the first things you can do is use that little Toasty head as a display pick. And already I was just like, this game knows how to appeal to the things that I love about Mortal Kombat.
So, the problem is I've never liked fighting games because there hasn't been much there for me, you know? There's... No real story. I don't know about this game, but in terms of just generally, there's never really any story apart from what you see is what you get, and that's it. There's nothing more, there's nothing less. So I've always just been sort of like, well, what's the point?
I would say this game does a remarkable job at feeling like a very robust technical fighter, but it doesn't alienate you. Like, that's something that I've always found difficult with, especially with the Capcom fighting games like Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom. I mean, I'm a huge Marvel fan, and I love the idea of Marvel vs. Capcom 3 when that came out, and I just couldn't play it because I've played more Smash Brothers in my life, I think, than other fighting games, and I like those kind of accessible games.
And that's the thing, because I love Smash Brothers, and I don't know what, because, I mean, that's essentially the same thing. I don't know why
I love
Smash Brothers.
I would
so
say
much.
Mortal Kombat falls really nicely in between Smash Brothers and Street Fighter. You know, it does have those longer button combos, but there are enough sort of basic and special attacks that you can memorize and get the hang of when you find a character you like that you can still feel like competent. And there's a bunch of awesome special, like, they've brought in this great new mechanic. If you played Injustice Gods Among Us, the DC fighting game, they've taken a lot of the stuff that worked in that game. So you basically have a super meter, so every time you take damage and every time you give damage, you're filling up a little super bar. And that gives you what they call X-ray attacks. And every character has a different one. And these are the ones where you do those up-close, absolutely brutal, like, skull-breaking, eye-piercing...
I was thinking about this the other day.
Just so gory. And when you manage to pull one off, it doesn't matter if you've had your ass kicked half that fight, you can take off, like, a third of their health and feel, like, freaking awesome while you do it.
Here's what I like about that is that the fatalities have always been very complicated, like the combinations to do them. So with bringing in these X-ray attacks, which you can, I mean, I'm assuming you would do two or three times per match, it lets you do cool stuff without actually having to win the game and then do a fatality. So
And the cool thing is, like, the rounds overlap now. So if you get defeated and you've nearly got a full thing,
it carries over.
Like, you fall down and you get up again, and then round two starts. It doesn't sort of go to a black screen.
That's cool.
And arbitrarily start, you know, the next round.
More of a fluid experience.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And there's a lot of, like, environmental interaction. You can, every now and then, you get a right bumper prompt if there's an environmental thing you can interact with. Sometimes it's picking up a tree branch and beating them with it.
Great.
Sometimes there's one where you pick up an old lady in the crowd and just throw her at your opponent. It's fantastic. And some stuff
that's something
just,
that Injustice did. It used a lot of the environment.
And they've taken that. And it's great.
Awesome.
But also, like, something else that they definitely need kudos for is, like, they've created a lot of new characters for this game, and there are a lot of old, like, classics characters that aren't back. Like, they've sacrificed putting a lot of, you know, fan favorites for the sake of trying to create some new, fresh, well-designed characters, and most of them are really good.
Cool.
Like, there's some great characters that feel really, really well-balanced. One I really like is this guy, Takeda, who sort of has these cool arm cables that sort of... It's a bit like... You know, Whiplash, except they're metal and they've got blades on either side, and there's just some brutal stuff.
Yeah.
Johnny Cage's daughter, Cassie Cage, has a nut punch move where you literally just explode men's junk. And it goes X-ray,
Is there a story?
Like, there is a story.
I know there's a story of, like, I remember the original stories of the original games of, like, the ancient, you know, fighting arena.
There is a story mode, and, you know, like, it's a bit corny, but it's fun corny because the whole world is corny. But it's really well presented because the way they put it together is it's just like one ongoing cutscene, but every time a character has to fight another character, it merges into you fighting. And it goes by chapter, so you get... It's a great way for a game like this to give you a chance to try out all the different characters.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll just find that each level will frustrate you or delight you based on how much you take to that particular character. It's a really cool way, I think, to get a chance at playing all the characters without feeling like you have to jump straight into online versus or something.
Would you say there's enough content here to warrant, like, the price tag? Like, is there a lot to do?
I absolutely would. There's heaps of multiplayer modes that are really great.
So it's more than just like a one-on-one.
Yeah.
There's more going on.
Yeah. The one thing they've got, it's really cool, called the Crypt, which is basically the place you go to unlock bonus content. But when you go in there, it's like a first-person game where you can move one space, you know, you move sort of a step at a time and move left and right, and you physically find things that you open to spend your coins on.
Hmm.
And it's like a sort of a puzzle, it's like a weird puzzle dungeon crawler thing.
A metagame.
Yeah, where you have to, every now and then you find an area and it's like, oh, you know, this is a frozen wall and you can keep running around and you might find Liu Kang's fireballs. You collect items and use them to keep moving further, and it unlocks more tombs where you can find more. And it's all like, you know, it's all things like concept art and... new character skins, new fatalities,
music.
It's stuff you can unlock and use, but it's just it's really cool to have this physical thing instead of a screen or, you know, a little game store where you buy this stuff.
Interesting.
And they've got some really good multiplayer modes. They've got one that they've got a bunch of these towers, which are sort of like daily challenges. You know, the classic Mortal Kombat tower is, it's 10 levels and you fight each one on a person on each level and fight your way to the top.
Mm.
And they've got rotating ones, like a daily tower that changes every day, a weekly, and then an hourly.
Which I'm assuming would be really difficult.
Well, they're all different sort of challenges. Like, the one I did the other day was, like, I forget what it was called, but every player started with slightly less health.
Oh.
And they took slightly more damage. So it was all about, like, you know, doing as much damage and then getting away.
That's cool.
And they rotate challenges and things like that. Yeah, it's quite fun. And there's... I'd say there's a lot to offer. It definitely feels like the most robust fighting game I've had to play for a while. And it's just you want to play it. There's something about it that just feels fluid and satisfying.
I imagine I would really...
And chunky. The fights feel close. You don't feel like it's so easy to get, like, cheaply batted into a corner like in other games.
Yeah. I feel like it's the kind of game I'd love to play couch, like, with a friend on the same screen, you know what I mean? I feel like that would be when it shines. I mean, so
definitely.
Many of those games would.
We might have to play it on stage at a little something I call bonus stage.
Interesting.
Coming up
tell
soon.
Me about that.
Bonus
oh,
stage. That was... Oh, look, I'll tell you about it in a second. Oh, well, let's go to some messages and then I think wrap up and say goodbye. In short, I would get this Mortal Kombat game. It is a great game.
Cool.
Well, that's all we have time for. Once again, thanks for tuning in to Big Head Mode. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Tom, Bardia, thanks for coming on.
Oh, that's all right.
Thanks for having us.
Not doing anything else.
And appreciate also, don't forget, bonus stage. Really, we're coming up in just under 2 weeks now. Our next show on Wednesday the 29th. You can find all the details about that on bigheadmode.com.au.
It's going to be good.
Our guest, we've got comedian Daniel Towns. We're going to be playing some Zelda with him. And good game, Stephanie Bendixson, or Hex, as you might know, is going to be on as well. As well as a whole bunch of sweet gaming music. Woo-hoo. Some fun, some laughs, a few good games. Fun. It'll be
play
good times.
Play some games, a little bit of gaming. It'll be great.
Till then, we'll see you guys next week. Up next is DJ Early Curly. But why don't we play a bit of Mortal Kombat?
Oh, yeah.